And turning in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, I'm going to read two portions of scripture here. I greet you in Jesus' name. God bless you. Thank you for being in God's house here tonight, and to the faithful saints that have gathered in God's presence. Amen. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and tell him, thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being faithful. How quickly we forget. I had a moment last night. I sat on the couch and wept as I began to look at the calendar and look at pictures, and how quickly we forget where we've come from. But tonight, 2 years ago, I preached to a completely empty building. Tonight, 2 years ago. And how quickly we forget. And my message was faith over fear. And I'm so thankful that you made it an important part of your day to be in God's house tonight. Thank you, Jesus. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. And the word of the Lord says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Somebody say every weight. Every weight. And the sin which so easily besets us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And I want to talk to you tonight on this thought. Stay the course. Stay the course. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and tell him, stay the course. Stay the course. Amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. I do want to make mention that on the 27th, Brother Poindexter will be here for a revival service here. So a week from, or 2 weeks from now. We're a blessed people tonight. All the blessed people say amen. Amen. We're a blessed people tonight. And I'm so thankful that each of you have made it, as I mentioned earlier, a priority to come to the house of God. It grieves my heart as a pastor that after all we've been through, give it just in case. Amen. Hopefully, after all we've been through, that some have drifted back into a stalemate of lukewarmness. There's kids that don't know about the Lord because their parents are not teaching them about the things of God. There's folks that would rather make time for everything else but the things of God. I just need these batteries changed. That would help. AA batteries. And we are we're thankful tonight that, just bring the batteries and I'll put them in. Thank you. Pray that Brother Tony removes this off of YouTube so we don't end up on a blooper. Amen. But there's joy in the house of the Lord tonight. There's joy in God's house when God's people gather together. Amen. You can give God a praise. You can give God a praise. That when we begin to think about all that God has done and all that he's going to do and how he's brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And when we think about where we could have been and where some of us were not too far many years ago, but we're here tonight in God's presence. And we're here tonight because God has found us and he's brought us to this point tonight so that we could praise him. Even though a microphone's not working, we don't have to have a microphone to have church. Don't need a microphone to have church. I love the organ, Sister Para, but I learned a long time ago we don't have to have the organ to have church. We can have church without any music. Devil is a liar. We can have church without any music, any PA system. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst of them. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Come on, somebody give God a hand clap of praise. So I have found that many times, especially in the church world, we tell as pastors, we do a lot of telling, you know, but we don't do a lot of explaining. We tell people what to do, but not how to do it. And so tonight, I just want to talk to us about staying the course. And so the writer of Hebrews is writing to us, and he is giving us an exhortation to keep our eyes on Jesus. And the scripture setting of Hebrews chapter 12, it flows with Hebrews chapter 11. And what we would understand in Hebrews chapter 11 is the hall of faith, or the honor roll of faith. And it's a crowd of witnesses. It's those that were in the Old Testament that had already reached their heavenly reward. It's the Abrahams and the Isaacs and the Moseses and the Joshuas. And the writer of Hebrews begins to explain to us who those were and what they went. And they did it for a good report. They did it for the glory and the honor of the Lord. And it goes on to tell us that God blesses the faithful. And today there's many fads, and there's many distractions that threatens and sidetracks us from staying on the course with our relationship with the Lord. And when you hear that word or that terminology, stay on course or staying on course, it means to continue with a process or continue with an effort, even though things may be difficult. It's to continue on. It's perseverance with as much determination or endurance or fortitude as one could endure until the completion of whatever it is that you're striving for. And ships that are on an ocean have many distractions, and they have a direction they're headed to, and there's a destination that they're going to try to obtain to get in, and along the way, they face high tides and they face waves, and there's disruptions, and there's lots of things that come that are unexpected when they're out on the open sea. And the ship just continues to float along, and sometimes they got to lighten the ship. There's times that they've got to consider the costs and they've got to lighten the ship, but they stay the course. The captain of the ship encourages and he directs and he gives direction for those that are on the ship to stay the course. And that's what I want to do tonight. Is we're on the good old gospel ship, and I want us to stay the course. We are headed towards uncharted waters, uncharted territories. There's going to be moments of cool, calm weather, and then there's going to be moments where it's going to get a little bit rocky, a little bit bumpy in the spirit realm, in the physical realm. But I want to talk tonight on three principles or points that are going to help us stay the course. And these will help us grow and mature with our walk with God and allow us to bear spiritual fruit as we advance in the kingdom. We are to be spirit-led and have spiritual fruit. Amen. Not be religious nuts. Come on, somebody. The first point is you have to have personal devotion. Now, I'm talking about three things that are going to help you stay the course. So you have to have personal devotion. My personal devotion is my personal devotion. You cannot live for God based off of my personal devotion. And so when the writer says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, he's talking, it's personal. And we're not looking just to survive with our walk with God. But we need to be thriving so we can produce spiritual fruit. A tree that doesn't produce fruit or shade, it's good for nothing. Salt, if it loses its savor, is good for nothing but just to throw on the ground and for people to walk on it. And coming to church on Wednesday is vital. It's necessary. But it is only 90 minutes throughout the week. 90 minutes of a day that consists of 24 hours. We've got to ensure that we are spiritually feeding ourselves every day. Every day. You have got to be responsible for your relationship with the Lord every day. Just like you're responsible for eating, whatever it is you eat throughout the day, how much or how little or how many times, Most of us eat at least three times a day, some two, some five, but we've got to make sure we are spiritually feeding ourselves. We make lunch plans. Some of you have dinner plans for the week. Some even meal prep. So why don't you prepare spiritually for stuff? Oh yeah, I'm coming for you. But we struggle. We struggle to pray for our food. Some forget. Why do we remind everybody about Thursday prayer and fasting? Because folks forget. Do we give God thanks for life? Just for the simple thing. One of the things that's not in the Bible, but it sounds really good and it preaches good. But what if we only got to keep what we thank God for? The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18, in everything, give thanks. And then Paul just, you know, everybody has a plan until you get punched in the nose, right? It's just like he punches us in the nose and he says, for this is the will of God concerning you. So let me, I'm just talking about 3 points tonight that will help us stay the course, living for God in perilous times. How hard is it for us to simply say, thank you, Jesus, throughout the day? A quick prayer while you're getting your coffee together. You will stay the course if you have a daily personal devotion with the Lord. You will. Because a lot of people have a gym membership. Just like a lot of people have a church. But we got to get to know the Lord for ourselves. Don't only know the Lord based off what the ministry team comes and teaches on Wednesdays or a testimony of somebody posts. Don't live for God through somebody else. Paul tells us in Philippians 3 and 10, that I may know him. That I may know him. And the power of his resurrection. How did some of the people in the Bible go through and get through what they've dealt with through the times that they went through? It's because they knew the Lord. They had a daily devotion with the Lord. The story of Daniel in the lion's den, powerful, powerful testimony, provides great insight to what it means to persevere through adversity. But notice in Daniel chapter 6, Scripture tells us when Daniel knew the law was signed. He went into his house and with his windows open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he did aforetime. I'm going to read it in New Living Translation. It says, when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his room with its windows open. He prayed 3 times a day just as he had always done, giving thanks to God. Why could Daniel go through the lion's den? Because he knew who the Lord was. That God would never leave us nor forsake us. There are brothers and sisters right now in Ukraine and Russia going through what they're going through. We hear stories that rockets explode just kilometers away from them. How that they have water and they have food, but whole towns are wiped out. God will take care of his people. Amen. Daniel had a daily devotion to the Lord, and everyone knew it. So I would ask us, what are you known for? Because Daniel 6 and 11 says, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before God. I'm talking about staying the course, through tumultuous times. What? Let me. It's rhetorical. Just a rhetorical question. What do people find us doing? Most importantly, what is the Lord finding us doing? Spending time with the Lord is a personal decision you've got to make for yourself. Good intentions aren't enough. Listen, good intentions are not enough. The path we follow determines our destination. Right? Don't get off course with your devotion to the Lord. Part of being a disciple is being disciplined. And we're focusing on engagement. We're focusing on dominion prayer and discipleship. And so part of being a disciple is discipline. It's going to take discipline to use your prayer journal that we gave out. It's going to take discipline to pray, to fast, to read your Bible. It's going to take discipline to live holy. Everyone else may be painting your toes, but you don't paint your toes. You don't paint your face. You paint the fence. You don't paint the house. But I don't dye my hair. You shouldn't dye your hair either. It's going to take discipline to live holy in an unholy world. Talking about staying the course. Look, when people are in a relationship or they want to get to know somebody, what do? They spend time together, right? And the more they spend time together with somebody, the more they get to know them. The more they realize, this person, well, he's got to hit the road, right? Same goes for us. How do we know what God loves? We got to read his word, right? 1 Timothy 4:13 says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation and to doctrine. You know what a hammer is made for? Hitting a nail on the head. That's what it's for. And there's a lot of folks that are swinging a hammer around trying to tear down walls and using tape measure and paint to build walls. And if we're not careful, we'll use the wrong tools at the wrong time for areas of our lives or to disciple people, and we end up making a mess. So are you reading your Bible? When do you read your Bible? Right? 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us, notice this, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to hear the preaching of the word of God and respond to the preaching of the word of God. We have an altar call so that we can respond to whatever it was that went out and however way it impacted your life. Sometimes it's repentance. Sometimes it's praise. Sometimes it's a deeper commitment. Sometimes you're here talking to the Lord and you're trying to sort things out. But we have to respond to the preaching of the Lord. The Bible tells us in Psalm 119 and 9, how will a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed there unto according to the word of God. Some of us, you don't need any more meetings with pastor. What you need is just to do what the Bible says. Come on, somebody. You don't need to meet with anyone else but the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Help me help myself. Pastor can't change nobody, and your spouse can't change you, but God is the only one that can change, that can cleanse, that can restore. Are we being doers of the word of God? Romans 10 and 14 tells us, how shall they hear without a preacher? You know, Pastor, my wife preaches to me all the time. Well, that's because you need it. Somebody say amen. Amen. Romans 10 and 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need to have personal convictions that are biblically based, not some fad or trend. There's a Bible verse that I've been chewing on all week. It's powerful. I'd be the first to admit that I actually forgot about it. Psalm 56 and 9, so powerful. When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know. For God is for me. Powerful. God's for you. So stay the course. Right? Lay aside the weights. You notice it says weights and the sin which so easily besets us. There's a lot of stuff that are weighing some people down that it is not only slowing you down, it is causing you to turn and you're looking at things and engaging in things and responding in ways that are not only immoral and not biblical and unethical, but you know better. And you got to lay aside those weights. The second point tonight is to help you stay on course with your relationship with the Lord in tumultuous times is averting negativity. Doesn't mean that you're not going to be exposed to negativity or you're not going to walk into negativity. But my goodness, close the door, lock the door from negativity. Stinking thinking, stinking people, ideas, ways of life, lifestyles, just enough is enough. That's a sure way to stumble and fall and stay down is to surround yourself with people that have a negative mentality and a negative spirit. That's why David said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. You can have a wrong spirit. Come on, somebody. You got to have a right spirit, especially in these days that we're living in. I want to stay the course, and I want to have a right spirit. Psalmist tells us in Psalm 27 and 13, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. There's more good. I say this regularly, but there's more good going on in the world than there is bad. All of you here tonight are good people, right? Just ask me. I'll tell you. You're good people. But we've all been around some people that are they're just woo traviesos, right? They're woo, right? they're all that and a loaf of bread and the chips and big gulp and supersize and everything, extra guacamole. I mean, they're just woo. The head of lettuce and the whole enchilada and everything, right? They're. But don't invite that into your home and in your mind and into your heart. You got to stay the course. Do you know what a mute button is? You got to learn to use it spiritually. Right? We used to disconnect the phone. Right? Oh, no, I'm going to disconnect the phone from the wall. They're not going to call me. Some of you need to disconnect from some stuff, some people, places, and things. Right? Delete button. Right? Cancel them like a bad check. Just don't even bounce. Right? But we got to learn to use that. Right? We're in a spiritual battle. And going towards heaven in uncharted waters, we've got to make sure we stay the course. We can't allow ourselves to be consumed with the weights of negativity because you'll drown. Not everyone's for you. But God is for you, right? Right? Psalm 59, 56 and 9. For God is for me. Powerful. He's for you. Not everybody wants you to win. Not everybody I preach on Sunday, not everybody wants you to walk in victory or live for God or do good, especially the devil, right? He's out to steal, kill, and to destroy. Some people are okay with you doing okay just as long as you're not doing better than them. Just saying, right? I'm talking about staying the course, and part of staying the course is averting negativity. It doesn't matter who's for you or who's against you or what the resources are like or how you feel, right? The joy of the Lord is your strength. You got to remember that. Your hope ought to be in the Lord. So stay the course. Stay in the church. Stay in the realm of personal devotion. And here, I'm gonna help somebody with something. If you mess up, get back up, dust yourself off, have your pity party for like 5 minutes, and then get to stepping back on the road, and don't look back and don't say, well, I might as well smoke the whole pack. I might as well drink the whole case now. You know, might as well just, you know, go to another church. The devil is a liar. I'm going to stay on course. Got to avert negativity, right? Romans 8 and 31, if God's for you, who can be against us? The Bible tells us that death and life, in Romans 18, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Listen, right now, you've got negativity just waiting to jump at you, right? The sin and the weights that so easily besets us. That means it's, when you break that down, it means it's just standing there waiting, right? Lurking around, just waiting. In some of the bigger cities, you drive by Home Depot or Lowe's, and there's like 20 guys standing there waiting to work. I mean, they got their lunchbox, they got their hard hat. They're just waiting for someone to say, "I need a painter. I need someone to pick up trash. I need someone to do some yard work." They're just waiting. They're just waiting for an opportunity. It's the same thing with the enemy, and the same thing with his lies and with his tricks. And just waiting to say, "Well, you know, I got them at a low moment. I got them with this last time, and this seems to be they like Groundhog's Day, so it just seems like to be the same thing and the same person, just a different personality, but the same old, and you wonder why you're getting off course. Is because you're not averting negativity. You're not having personal devotion with the Lord. You cannot change what you're unwilling to confront. And eventually you're going to have to deal with some stuff if you want to change and stay on course. And for most of us, we have to confront ourselves. Right? The ship doesn't just turn around and go back. It pushes through. You're going to have to confront some things. Your attitudes, your mindsets, your spiritual DNA. You can change that for the next generation. You got to confront your past and quit leaning on your past as a crutch. But change it. Move forward. Create a new branch on the tree. And you can't just avoid everything. Part of staying on course is demonstrating spiritual courage. Right? Telling people, "I don't booze anymore, so quit bringing beer to my house." Come on, somebody. "I don't talk that way. I don't live that way. So I'm going to send a card in the mail. I'm going to send it early. I'm going to make sure you get it. I love you. God bless you. But I can't and I won't." Right? The devil, you can't blame the devil for everything. Devil didn't make you use that credit card, right? We are responsible for our actions and the words that come out of our mouth. Matthew 12 and 33 says, "Either make the tree good and his fruit is good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." New Living Translation says, "For whatever is in your heart determines what you say." A good man out of the good treasure of his heart, verse 35 says, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But this is a powerful Bible verse. That every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. We are known by our conversations, but we are more known by our actions and behaviors. We've got enough bad news in the world. We've got enough bad news in the community and society and in our families. We don't need to be inviting that into our hearts and our minds and dwelling on it, right? How many know what the devil is real good at? Lying, right? That's what he's good at. So don't allow the lies of the devil to play with you. Rebuke him. Push back at him. Negativity will produce discouragement. Discouragement comes in. Discouragement's not a respecter of person. It's not. And if you listen to it long enough, it will affect you. Right? And the Bible tells us, and it'll help, you'll make bad decisions. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 17 and 20, he that had a froward heart findeth no good, and he that had a perverse tongue falls into mischief. Negativity and discouragement will hide behind a smile. How you doing? Oh, I'm good. How's your day? Oh, I'm blessed. You need anything? No, I'm good. But inside, you're just like all falling apart, right? You're just a mess. And then you drift off or you get behind. I'm trying to help us tonight to stay on course through tumultuous times. You know how some of the elders have made it? We look. I know some of them don't come hardly as often as they used to. But it's not because they quit every time they hit a bump in the road. It wasn't because they stayed home because it was the easy thing to do. But no, they persevered. They fought. They figured a way out and said, you know what? If I'm well enough to do this or to do that, then I'm well enough to do this or to do that for the things of God, for the kingdom, because I'm a seeker of the kingdom of God. And I want to stay on course with my relationship with the Lord. Proverbs 8 and 13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. I want to help somebody tonight. Many times we look at people in the church or in churches, and we see the blessings of God on their life and their accomplishments and their accolades, and we may find ourselves judging them, miscalculating them, shunning them, even a little jealous or envious of them. But we don't see their stewardship. We don't see their discipline, where they're getting up early. We don't see their faithfulness. So they're driving all night from a conference on Saturday night. I'm gonna take a cheap shot at some of you so they can be at church on Sunday morning. Yeah, that's good. You don't see their obedience, right? Yeah. They're not posting everything on social media, right? They're taking their lunch to work. They're not going down out to eat on their lunch hour, right? And so they've accumulated some things over time. They're not rich. They've just learned to be good stewards of what God has entrusted them for. And they've stayed on course. And in order to receive what God is going to give them, they've placed themselves in position, right? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It takes a lot of time to get that revelation that every step I take is calculated and ordered by the Lord. So I got to make sure that every step I take is it done? Is it right? Is it fair? Is it pleasing unto God? And am I taking a step in the right direction for the right reason? And sometimes you just got to stand there. You got to stand where you're at, right? I'm fully armed. I got my feet ready. I got my shield of faith. I got my helmet of salvation, and I want to move forward. But the Bible says, stand therefore. Sometimes you just got to stand where you're at. You got to drop an anchor and say, I got to get rid of some stuff. I got to get rid of some weights and some stands because I want to stay the course. And right now, I'm just going to settle where I'm at. So the Lord can work through me and on me. Some of these folks have spoke life. They promoted faith. They kept watering the seed even though nothing sprouted. They laid aside the negativity and they pursued faith. Right? Third point tonight that will help you stay the course in your relationship with the Lord through tumultuous times is being engaged in the kingdom. It's so easy to be drawn away and distracted. It is. I'm being just transparent. And there's no shortcuts to living for God. There's no shortcuts to get to heaven. There's no in-between, right? I argue with my grandma about that all the time. There's no in-between. Nobody's going to get to heaven by accident and be surprised that they got there. Like, oh, I made it. Wow. You may be surprised who's there. Right? But you and I are here because of the love and the mercies of the Lord.
Amen.
Do you know that most, I believe in outreach, door knocking, I think was a good way 20 years ago. And I think there's maybe some benefits to it now. But do you know how most people come to church because somebody that they're connected to brought them or invited them? And most of the soul winning is done in Pentecost by people that have been in the church less 2 years or less. Because I think the longer we're in the church, the more comfortable we get. The further you get from that first generation experience, the more comfortable you can get. We got to be engaged in the kingdom like never before. Paul writes in Colossians 3 and 2, set your affections on things above. The last couple years, we've had a lot of change in our lives. But you know what hasn't changed? God hasn't changed. He's been there for us all along. Even when we didn't see it, he was there. People of this world, they're tired of phony, hypocritical, Hollywood, government, religion, churches. They're over it, just like we're over it. And what they want is what we have, is a real relationship with the real God and a people that know their God that will do exploits, a people that know how to pray and know how to love, a people that know how to have revival but know how to forgive, a people that know how to beat the drum but also beat the devil, a people that know how to dress in style but modest and holy in the God, a people that freely receive, that will freely give, a people that will tell them, you know what? I don't agree with how you're living, but let me tell you what the Bible says, not what the preacher says or what my religion says. Let me show you in the Word of God what God loves and what he hates. And he loves a sinner and he hates sin. And I am not perfect, but I serve a perfect God. We got to be engaged in the kingdom like never before. Let's not drift off. Let's not lean on ourselves. But let's lean on the Lord like never before. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 119 and 36, incline my ear unto thy testimonies and not unto covetousness. Oh, wow. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity and quicken thou me in thy way. I want to be engaged in the kingdom. The surest way to encourage yourself is to help somebody. The more you can become engaged in the kingdom, the less you find yourself fault-finding, complaining, getting offended, being idle. Right? My dad used to tell me, idle mind's the devil's playground. Well, we got to be engaged in our Father's business, as the musicians would make their way. Psalmist tells us in Psalm 145 and 13, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. All generations. God is going to do a quick work in some people's lives that we've been praying for. A quick work. Day of Pentecost was 120, approximately 120, and it grew. And they continued, scripture tells in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. And they just kept doing it. They just kept staying the course. They scattered, but they stayed the course. They kept preaching. They kept praying. They kept discipling. They kept giving. They kept living holy in times of crisis, in times of horrific, in times of World War I, World War II, the Dark Ages. Just, there was always a group of believers that preached the message, that loved the message. And to the uttermost parts of the earth, we're here today because there's a group of elders that say, you know what? Back in 1961, 62, 63, said we got to start a church in Santa Maria. So they started a church, and they prayed and they fasted and they gave and they gave. Some of you are here today because your grandparents, somebody witnessed to them. Many of us are here today because somebody taught us in Sunday school and shared the gospel with us. But we got to stay the course. Everything we're doing is for the glory and the honor of the Lord. And don't get offended. Don't get bitter. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't keep your eyes on. Follow me as I follow Christ. Follow Pastor as I follow Christ. But he's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. We stand tonight. I want to challenge us to step it up in these three areas this year in our relationship with the Lord. With our daily discipline of devotion, step it up. If it's one verse, go to one chapter. If it's one chapter, do two chapters. If it's 5 minutes of prayer, do 10 minutes of prayer. Step it up with our engagement to the Lord. And step it up with averting negativity. And you'll see, you'll watch your relationship with the Lord. Oh, I have not seen, nor ear had heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. He's got new places, new things, new ways, higher levels, deeper things that he wants to take us to and use us for. But he needs us to stay the course through tumultuous times. And further than that, we got to stay the course during good times too. But right now, I'm just trying to help us. I preached on keeping your minds on the Lord, and today I'm preaching stay the course. There's a reason why, because there's a lot of distractions. And I'm not trying to meddle right now. I'm just trying to help us stay the course. Be easy for me to come in here and tell you what to do, but not help you do it. I want to help you do it. I want to help you live for God. I want to help you get to heaven. And I want to see your family saved. Can we lift our hands unto the Lord tonight? Yes.